Signed Words to Ministry Queensland. It's Friday evening, the 25th of March 1988, and this is cassette number 2 with guest speaker Mr. Lindsay Williams, and his subject of course is the plot to control Australia. Cassette number 2.
Please. You know those bankers? And I'm going to take this gentleman sitting right here on the front seat. Now just stay right where you are. I'd like to use you as an example. Let's say that you have $1,000 that you would like to deposit in your friendly, smiling banker's bank who would never do you wrong. Now, God forbid that you'd ever do it. I'm sure you have better sense. But just in case you wanted to deposit $1,000 in his bank in a savings account. So you deposit that $1,000 in the bank, and that bank in America, and I understand very similar in Australia, is required to keep 5% of your deposit in the bank. And they can loan out 95% of your money. So that means your $1,000 deposit is deposited in your friendly, smiling banker's bank who would never do you wrong. And that bank is required to keep $50 of your money on deposit. And you can loan out $950. And you loaned it out to this gentleman sitting right here on the front row who wants to build a room onto his house. So you take the money down to the building supply place, and the building supply place does business with Bank B across the town from Bank A. So the building supply house deposits that $950 into Bank B. Now Bank B is required to keep 5% on deposit and can loan out $902.50. That money is loaned out to this gentleman sitting right here who filters the money back into the economy through the hardware store and the grocery store into Bank C. That's on the other side of Bank A and Bank B. And Bank C is required to keep 5%, which is $45.13, and they can loan out $857.37 to this gentleman sitting way over here, who filters it back into the economy, into Bank D. Bank D is required to keep $42.87, which is 5%, and can loan out $814.50. Now, the other day, my faithful computer and I were traveling across America. We had about 3 hours on a jet. And I calculated this thing all the way down to zero, and here's what I found out. Sir, your $1,000 deposit in your friendly, smiling banker's bank who would never do you wrong, those bankers, using fractional reserve banking, are allowed to loan out legally by your country and by America the following amount of money, $20,229.60. Oh, by the way, that's only the principal. That doesn't even include the 15% interest. What is the interest known as? The interest is better known as the national debt. Every day they turn the presses up faster and faster and faster and print more paper and put it into the economy in order to keep the fractional reserve banking from collapsing. As one banker said to me recently, fractional reserve banking is designed to collapse. And it will soon. Have you heard of Sir, we will take questions and answers at the close of the session tonight, and as long as I'm on the platform, if you will please hold your question to the end, and I promise you at the end of the session tonight that yours will be the first question that I'll call on, and there'll be a microphone where you can politely ask your question, and I will gladly answer it after I finish speaking this evening, if you will, please. You have heard of privatization in Australia? Is it an issue down here right now? May I tell you why your government is pushing privatization? I doubt very seriously if you knew what the Congress of the United States of America did on August the 13th. On August the 13th, On August the 13th, 1987, the Congress of the United States of America passed a bill giving banks in the United States of America, those of the international financiers banks in New York, the World Bank, the right to own 100% of any and all foreign corporations. Prior to August the 13th, 1987, a corporation or a bank in the United States of America or the World Bank could only own 30% of any foreign corporation's stock and holdings. As of August the 13th, an American bank, the International Financiers Banks in New York, can own 100% of your airlines, your railroads, your bank, or any corporation in Australia. Isn't it quite interesting that about the same time that your government officials were pushing privatization, that the Congress of the United States of America passed that law? You know who will own your airlines? After all they do is just reach out into thin air and create money from computers. They don't have anything to back it. They don't have to have anything to bank it. It's known as the World Bank. It's known as the International Financiers. And who will buy your corporations? Oh, they won't buy them directly from Chase Manhattan or Chemical Bank or Morgan's Bank. Who will they buy them through? They'll buy them through some other company that they form, and through that company they'll make the money available, and they will buy your corporations. And whenever they complete it, corporations that have been designed by privatization to be a savior to Australia will be owned by none other than those who have put America into its $12 trillion debt. The very people who put the third world countries into their indebtedness. They will own the corporations of Australia. 5 years from now, you'll look back and remember the statement that I made tonight. Why? They did it in Canada. Oh, they didn't tell you about that, did they? I was in Canada recently. I lectured at the University of Regina. After the meeting, in the open forum at the end, which I wish the gentleman had remained for, I would have been more than happy to have entertained his question. But when I was at the end of the session, a student at the University of Regina stood to his feet and said, "What do you think about the free trade agreement that's just been signed between the United States of America and Canada?" I said, "Sir, the free trade agreement, which will allow free trade back and forth across our borders and no taxation, just as it wishes, between any corporations," I said, "your free trade agreement is going to be the destruction of Canada." He said, "Why?" And I showed him the article out of the Wall Street Journal stating that on August of 1987, that now corporations and banks in America can buy 100% of foreign corporations. And I said, "They will own Canada. They will control you within less than 5 years' time." Well, what have they done to the America's currency? You know, I think if I talk about my own nation, then you can draw some conclusions as to what's happening in yours. I have in my hand a $1 bill from the United States of America. It's called a Federal Reserve note. First of all, we Americans have found out that it's not federal. It's owned by a privately owned corporation by the name of the Federal Reserve, which is not a corporation, is not an agency of the federal government. Secondly, there is no reserve. There's nothing on there to say that this is backed by anything. Used to years ago said it was backed by gold or silver. Today it's not backed by anything. Thirdly, it's not a note. That's right. Now, since I picked on my own currency, may I talk about your Australian currency for a moment? Would you allow me? I mean, I'm an American. I know I'm down here as a guest. But would you allow me to read two phrases on your Australian currency? I have a $2 Australian bill in my hand, and it says, "Reserve Bank of Australia." Who owns the Reserve Bank of Australia? I don't know. I'm only asking the question. It might be wise to investigate. You see, we thought the Federal Reserve in America was owned by the Congress of the United States of America and its people. By close investigation by such men as Eustace Mullins, who are very brilliant people, went all the way to the National Archives and wrote some phenomenal books on the Federal Reserve, We found out that the Federal Reserve of the United States of America is owned by a group of international financiers, over half of them not even being citizens of the United States of America. That only came about when there was very careful investigation in the National Archives. Secondly, on your Australian money, it says, Australian note is legal tender. Will you please do me a favor when you go home tonight? Will you please look in your dictionary and find out what the meaning of the word note is? If you look in your dictionary, if it's the same as the American dictionary has in it, you'll find out that the meaning of the word note is that in order for something to be a legal note, it must have a promise to pay on it somewhere in some amount of something. Otherwise, it is not a legal note. Now, in America, there is no promise to pay in any amount of anything on our money. There was at one time. It promised to pay in gold and silver. In Australia, what backs your currency? Is there any promise to pay on this note anywhere in any amount of anything? Then in America, we call them green stamps because that's exactly what they're worth. The paper they're written on. And watch the American dollar and mark my words. In the very near future, you're going to see the American dollar plummet. If you think that your floating currency is in trouble now, wait till the American dollar, which denominates all oil sales, plummets to rock bottom, and we in America, who are on the inside of some of this, know what's happening, and we are expecting the American dollar most any time to make a definite plummet down, and when it does, watch out for the world currencies. May I explain to you briefly what they've done to us? I have this $1 bill in my hand, and in my other hand, I have an Australian 50-cent piece. I'm going to pretend that it's an American silver dollar. In the United States of America, 40 years ago, they minted silver dollars. It had 1 ounce of silver in it, and it was called a silver dollar. And 40 years ago, you could have gone into any bank in America. You could have taken one of these Federal Reserve green stamps, called a $1 bill, into the bank, and you could have bought one of these silver dollars with it. Today, 1988, you take one of these Federal Reserve notes, $1 bills, into any bank in America, and you can still buy a silver dollar. But you know how many of these you pay for it? 15 in order to get one of these. Now, what changed purchasing power? This or this? The silver dollar will still buy today exactly what it would buy 25 years ago. Will this? No. This will buy approximately 13 cents off what it would buy 25 years ago. Who did it? Well, let's go a little further in order to explain this. I'm going to pretend that this is a 1 ounce gold piece minted in the United States of America 50 years ago. And on that 1 ounce gold piece, it had printed on the front $20. Now, 50 years ago, you could have taken that 1 ounce gold piece into any tailor shop in America, could have laid that 1 ounce gold piece on the counter and said, I would like to buy the nicest three-piece tailor-made suit you have in the shop. And 50 years ago, they would have sold it to you for that 1 ounce gold piece with $20 stamped on the front. Today, 1988, take that exact same 1 ounce gold piece into the same tailor shop downtown New York, lay it on the counter and say, I'd like to buy the nicest three-piece tailor-made suit you have in the shop. And this morning, they would have still sold it to you for that 1 ounce of gold. Why? What did gold prices close at today? $440 an ounce. Now, on the front of that 1 ounce gold piece, do you remember what was printed on it? $20. And 50 years ago, you could have taken 20 of these, and you could have bought that 1 ounce gold piece. So today, 1988, take 20, $1. Federal Reserve green stamps into the same tailor shop, downtown New York. Lay them on the counter and say, I would like to buy the nicest three-piece tailor-made suit you have in the shop, and what would they do? Probably sell you the tie to go with the suit, wouldn't it? Why? What changed purchasing power? The paper or the gold? The gold is still worth today exactly what it was worth then. The paper is worth 13 cents of what it was worth back then. Are you beginning to get the message? Yes, there is a plot for the control of America, Australia, and the world. The two words are freedom, slavery. We have a choice. The choice is yours and mine. You know why I came here tonight? One reason and one reason only. I was not paid one penny by anyone to come to Australia. I will be lecturing in your country for 5 weeks without 1 cent of remuneration from anyone of any kind, either in America or Australia. You know why I'm here tonight? For one reason and one reason only. I will not be a slave. Will you? Eon, would you come down here a moment? I'd like you to do something for me right now. Would you please put a big smile on your face? I know we've had some very unusual facts given this evening. A lot of theories that are very disturbing. Eon, come on up here. I want the folks to see you in a moment. I'd like to give you some cures. Now, the reason I ask you to put a big smile on your face is because I think it's time to turn this thing around. I believe we can see America turned around. I believe we do have time to see Australia turned around. And if it's going to be done, it's going to be done by men like this. He's the founder of Aussie Freedom. Australians United. Eon is they call you a grazer, is that it? He doesn't do the grazing, his cattle does. But they call him a grazer. And Eon has a lot of sheep and cattle. And he left all of that. He's out here now trying his best to tell Australia the truth. He formed an organization named Aussie Freedom. He's heading it up all himself, every bit of it, the whole thing. And I think as long as there are men like this around, that we have time to turn Australia around, don't you? Thank you. In our latest book, Where's the Food?, my wife and I decided that we would put some cures. In none of my other three books did I ever print any cures to the problem. But I'd like to give you some cures tonight whereby we can turn America and Australia around. Because, you see, the only way that I, as an American, am going to stay free is for Australia to stay free, too. If you become a slave, I become a slave. Because the same people that caused our national debt are bringing about your national debt, and they have a reason for what they're doing. Now, for the next moment or two, if you'll allow me. By the way, you're getting tired. Can I take another 5 minutes? I'd like to give you seven cures whereby I believe we can turn this thing around. And you'll find them printed beginning on page 214 in the book, Where's the Food? Number one, get out of debt. Debt is a vicious cycle. Debt will enslave you. The Bible says the borrower is servant to the lender. Indebtedness has enslaved your nation, and it will enslave an individual. Number two, beware of usury. Usury is like a wheel with no end. You get into it, you can't get out. I decided a few years ago that I would not allow the international financiers to use Lindsey Williams' money anymore. In fact, it was a little over 5 years ago now. I went down to my local bank and I closed out my checking account. Haven't had one for over 5 years. I'm not going to let them take my money and use it fractionally reserved, which is dishonest in anybody's moral book. And I said, not only that, but I'm not going to pay their interest anymore. It took me about 6 months to pay off all my loans. And then I closed out my savings account. I said, they're not going to use that for fractional reserve banking either, your friendly, smiling banker who would never do you wrong. And I closed it all out. You can't imagine how happy my wife and I are the 10th of every month. Number three, set some family priorities. You remember the day and time when mother could stay home? Families could be taken care of by father's salary. He made enough money to put clothes on the back and a roof over their head. Thank you. I like that. Go ahead, ladies. And he put an automobile in the yard, and everything was fine. And then mother had to go off to the job. Who sent mother off to the job? Daddy didn't do it. Uh-uh. Government did it. International financiers did it. They devalued your money. Don't blame your elected officials. Blame those who control your elected officials. They're the ones that sent mother off to the job. I think it's time to set some family priorities, don't you? And put mother back where she belongs. My wife says she doesn't want to be liberated. She likes to sleep in until 10 o'clock every now and then. Number four, get involved in government. Oh, I know you say, regardless of which administration we get in, we get the same decisions. That's all right. Get involved in government anyway. And once you get a good elected official in there, don't let them alone. President Reagan said to his son recently in Los Angeles, California, when he was at the Reagan Ranch, it was at Christmas time, and I met President Reagan's son when I was in Los Angeles, and he said that his father said the following to him two Christmases ago, "Son, they won't let my friends get to me anymore. Will you please tell my friends that I still need them to keep trying to get information through to me?" President Reagan's own words to his son. Once you get an elected official in there, you got to stay with them because the powers that be will not let you get the truth through to them if they can help it. Next, not only get involved in government, take responsibility for your health. You do know there's a health conspiracy, do you not? Yes, there is. Not only a spiritual one and a political one, but a health conspiracy. One illustration out of this book, a farmer in California that we interviewed. The farmer raised corn and hogs. Last year, American farmers got $1.40 a bushel for their corn, and it cost them $1.60 a bushel to raise it. So this farmer decided that he couldn't afford to sell his corn on the open market. So he decided that he'd do what Granddaddy used to do. And what his dad used to do. He would turn the hogs out into the cornfield, get them fat, then take them off to the market and slaughter them and at least make some money that year. So he did. He turned his hogs out into the cornfield. The hogs started getting sick. 60% of them died. He called in the vet and the county agent from the government. And he said, "Gentlemen, what's wrong? Why are my hogs dying?" The vet and the county agent laughed at him. He said, "Wait a minute. Don't laugh. This is serious business. I've just lost 60% of my hogs and my whole corn crop." The veterinarian looked at the farmer and said, "Sir, I'd like to ask you two questions. Number one, what kind of seed did you plant when you planted that corn?" He said, somebody already knows. They've already said the word over here. He said, "We planted hybrid seed." You know what hybrid seed are, do you not? Oh, they grow beautiful corn, monstrous ears, big, beautiful stalks. But after about a year or two, they won't even sprout anymore. Then the veterinarian said, "What kind of fertilizer did you use on your soil?" Oh, he said, "Chemical fertilizer." He said, "Sir, don't you know that you cannot use hybrid seed and chemical fertilizer, that the corn does not even have enough nutrient in it to feed a hog? You have to supplement them or they'll die. Now, if it's doing that to hogs, what will it do to humans?" I think it's time that we learn the issues about health and do something about it. Number six, stand up to your adversaries. If we don't stand for something, we'll fall for anything. And I think it's time to stand up and do something about it. Number seven and lastly, turn your life over to Him. Capital H-I-M. If America or Australia is to be turned around, the Lord's going to do it. I will believe that God has failed. Whenever I look out the front window of my house some morning, to the top rung of the fence and find all the robin redbreasts lined up waiting on welfare. Until then, I will still believe that there's hope for turning America around and for turning Australia around. We can do it. We will do it. I refuse to be a slave. And I've traveled tonight one halfway around the world to tell you what I know as I've learned it from being there. There is a plot. There is a conspiracy. And they want you and me. But I have a message for them. They aren't going to succeed. Every human being is two parts. We are physical and we are spiritual. We must be free in both parts in order to be totally free human beings. The Bible says, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." A person can live in Australia and have your constitution, and under that constitution have physical freedom, but yet not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, and be a slave to sin, and be one half free. Be physically free, but spiritually a slave. But yet that same individual could live in Soviet socialistic Russia, under the tyranny and the dictatorship of that country, and could be physically a slave, yet have believed that Jesus Christ died on the cross and paid the price to forgive their sins and to make them a born-again believer and take them to heaven, and could be spiritually free, but be one-half free. I want to be both spiritually free through Jesus Christ and the precepts of the Bible and physically free through the Constitution of the United States of America. Then and only then am I totally free. I said tonight that I'd come here to Australia because I will not be a slave. Would you say that with me? I will not be a slave. Once again, I will not be a slave. I don't think you will. I've seen a lot of expressions on your face tonight, and I'm sure you have some questions. And I promised a question and answer session. Can we take 10 minutes? Will you promise not to leave if we take 10 minutes of questions and answers? Okay? But you've been a marvelous audience. Okay, I have an announcement here that I've been asked to give. Please note, at commencement of the meeting, the tapes of the audio and the video, or just the audio cassette tape off tonight, will be available at the conclusion of the lecture, and they'll be $4 each. And what will they be, back in the back? They'll be available immediately after the meeting. I guess they're back there recording them right now. All right. You've been a great audience. You've been sitting here for over an hour while I've been talking. Yes, I'm going to take the latest question right here first. I love this. Here, she's got her hand trying to go up and her husband pushing her hand up. Isn't that great? Now, just before we take some questions and answers, would you do this for me? If you'd like to ask a question, step up to the microphones. Would you please stand, stretch, and sit right back down? Now, if you leave, we won't have a question and answer session. Thank you so much, and you may be seated. That just relaxes us enough, and if you don't mind, I'm going to take my coat off. It's warm up here on this platform. All right, there's a microphone here. There's one here. If you have a question, please step up to them, and we will take them. Yes, right here. All right, you're going to have to quieten down a little bit. I guess the mic is not working, so I'll have to repeat the question. Could you say it as loudly as possible, and I'll try to repeat it.
Just to our Queensland people, that I, in the Fraser government, we formed the Australian Pensions Party. And we had the state executive here in our own state. And fortunately, we had our finance secretary, Eric Robinson. I think you would all know him. And he was here in Brisbane. And I said to him, to think of Australia, save it. We've had two world wars. We've had our children, and we're married, grandchildren, young people. And I also mentioned about the pensions and the unemployment, where, as far as I'm concerned, there was no need for it.
Speak up if you will. All right. Assuming that the Australian government has the will to do so, what keeps them from telling the international financiers to go jump in the lake? I think that's the best that I remembered, exactly like he said it. They have the power to do that. I understand that your constitution gives you the right to do with your money as you wish to. You even have your own Australian bank whereby you can coin your own money if you wish. So it could happen if enough of them knew the issues and you people pushed it.
The Constitution doesn't allow us to do that now. Our Constitution's been torn up.
Okay, well, I don't know that because I'm not an Australian. But I do know that the masses of the people, keep in mind one phrase, and I'll leave you with this and then we'll go to another question because the lady has her hand up back here, gentlemen. One phrase. Governments never act. They only react. Don't ever forget it. The only way your government's ever going to do anything is to react to your pushing them. They will never act on their own. And it's only when you people rise up and say, this is the way we want it, they'll do it. And listen, they have the power to do it. Yes, back here. Speak up good now, please. Okay, what would be my estimation of that action? I'll tell you what happened to me 2 days ago, right here in your own country. We've been collecting some $1 coins and some twos and fives, and we're getting, you know, a stack of them after books were being sold. So Leon said, shouldn't we get that into some larger bills so we don't have to carry around the little bitty bills? And we went into a bank in a certain town, and it was the largest bank in the town. And we said, we'd like to get some large bills. They said, we do not have one single $100 bill in the bank. And they said, furthermore, we can only give you a few $50 bills. Be very careful of banking. I don't know what the condition of banking is in Australia. And I would like to answer your question more after the meeting tonight. So if you'll come back to the table in the back, I'll be back there autographing books, and maybe I could help you personally in that way. Would anyone else here like to respond to this man's question? All right, there was another question down here. I think the gentleman. Yes.
Speak up, please. I'd like to ask you, do you know anything about a connection which is said to exist between the international oil monopoly, the one-season hybrid seed syndrome? I believe there is a nexus, a financial and a physical tie-up between the two. Could you tell us anything about that?
All right. Just a minute. Don't leave the microphone yet because I'd like to clarify your question. You're asking about the connection between the oil monopoly and
the internet, the one seed, hybrid seed production idea.
Okay, the all monopoly in the hybrid seed.
I know of a case in South Australia where a man had to tear up his crop because of it.
Yes. The connection between the all monopoly and the hybrid seed and the fertilizer, which is inorganic fertilizer.
Yes, that's right.
We have a story in here of an American farmer who went to borrow money for the bank in the springtime to plant his crop. The bank said, "We will only loan you money if you will use chemical fertilizer." Come to find out that the oil company was doing business with the bank and had told the bank that they would quit giving them their business if they did not require farmers to use chemical fertilizer. This farmer the year before had used organic fertilizer and had paid off the majority of his bank loans, and the bank wanted to keep him in debt, and so did the chemical fertilizer people.
Yeah. So I understand they control the seed business. I understand they control the seed, the one-season hybrid seed production, too.
Yeah, they may control some of the hybrid seed production. I do not know that for a fact, but they may very well. All right? Another question right down here, sir. All right, the question is, how does a man such as Jonathan May, who many of you have seen the tape, the audio, the video that I gave on this man's expose to me, how could he run from Great Britain, wind up in America, go to jail, still be allowed to call from jail and give out this information? Jonathan May left Britain because his life had been threatened. He thought that there was freedom in America. Quote, "When he got there, he found out the same people that control Britain control America. He made one mistake. He decided that he would do the same thing that the Federal Reserve System of America is doing, that is, issue paper without backing. That's all it took for the courts to put him in jail. One day, Jonathan May said to me, 'Lindsay, I'm afraid they're going to scramble my brains.' They do have the ability to do that. He said, 'The next time I call you on the telephone, please have a tape recorder hooked up to the telephone, and as fast as I can, I want to give you some information because I'm afraid I will never come out of jail to be able to tell it.' Now, in America, a prison inmate is allowed for so many minutes per day to call out to a local call, or if it's a long-distance call that has to be collected. I'm sure that the call was recorded. I wouldn't doubt that at all. But he did get to the phone. There was no one else in line for the phone. He called me, and as quickly as he got on the phone, he started giving out the information, which you heard his voice. All I know is he did it. Now, the part of the information that Jonathan May gave me that I could prove, I used. Now, I did not use everything Jonathan May told me. There's a lot of that tape that was cut out because I could not prove it. And I, as an author, will not use anything that I can't verify. We went to Arab sources, as you heard on the tape, that my explanation of it. We went to Arab sources, verified certain parts of Jonathan May's information, and then that part of his information only did I use. I am not a part of his organization. I have no relationship to Jonathan May except that he told me that on the phone that day. What I could prove, I used. And as a result, it's been a real help in explaining to people what's happening in the world system. All right? Right back here, sir. All right, the gentleman is asking that possibly if people do not understand what it means to be born again, they might not understand what it means to have complete victory over this system and a knowledge of what the system is doing. And he's suggesting that I explain what it means to be born again. I'll be more than happy to do that.
In fact, I do it in one entire chapter in my book, Where's the Food? My wife and I co-authored together. And in this book, you will find one full chapter explaining the plan of salvation. For any of those of you who cannot afford this book, I'll see to it you have a copy of that chapter. For those who can, you'll find it in detail. I ask you please to read it, because it'll be the most important thing you ever read in any of my writings. All right? Over here, sir. Is there a heavy involvement of the Japanese in the World Banks? I wish I had time tonight to give you a lecture for about 30 minutes on what happened in Japan. Japan is in terrible trouble right now. I just received McIlvaney's newsletter just before I left America. I brought it with me, read it in the car the other day, and he gave the facts and figures and statistics on what's happening in Japan. After the last World War, the international financiers were the ones that financed Japan. They still hold all the purse strings of Japan, even though they're doing it under the auspices of the Japanese banks. And right now, they are in the process of deindustrializing Japan. It's going to be a horrendous thing that's going to happen, because in Japan, they don't have a system like we know in America or Australia. But a family in Japan depends on a company that they work for from the time of the cradle to the grave. They give them everything, housing. They see to it that they get vacations. That company is their life. And right now, they're closing up automobile plants in Japan. Japan is on the verge of some major problems financially, even though we thought they were doing great. Maybe I can get you some of these statistics. But it's startling what the international financiers are doing to Japan. Same thing they did to America years ago. So don't take too much stock in the fact that Japan's doing all right. In the next year or two, Japan will be in some real trouble. All right, take one more question. Yes, right back here, sir. Right, the Reserve Bank does not have stock, and is it controlled by the government? No capital stock. This means then that the wishes of the people of Australia must be expressed in the actions of the Reserve Bank. Desirably. Well, that being the case, and I'm glad to hear this from an Australian, because I have not researched it. I do not know. I'll take your explanation. That being the case, for goodness sakes, impress on your government officials what you want the Reserve Bank of Australia to do. And that they'll have to do. All right. I like to be polite to ladies. We do have one lady's hand up down here, even though I said I would not take any more questions. We're going to take a lady before we stop. I guess we'll have to take two ladies before we stop. What else can I do for you? Okay, let's see. I believe the lady behind you was standing up first, and then we'll also take your... We're going to take two ladies' questions. All right, right here. Thank you. If you try to go to your federal government, and she says she has tried for some time and cannot get them to listen, what would I suggest that you do? Well, I'd be in real danger tonight if I suggested the wrong thing, being a guest in your country. Do it anyway. You want me to go home compliments of, what is it, immigration? You won't tell? Turn the television camera off. I will quote from Thomas Jefferson. He was the one who penned the Constitution of the United States of America and had much to do in the writing of the Constitution. He said, "When any government will not listen to its people, that the people have the right to dissolve that government and form another." I did not say that. I want that to be on the record, on the TV cameras, and on the audios, that I did not say that as Lindsay Williams. I only quoted from Thomas Jefferson, who is the penner of the Constitution of the United States of America. One last lady in order to be polite tonight. She's been so patient. All right. Why, if Japan is coming to financial crisis, does Japan own half of Australia? Now, I'm taking your word for it that Japan owns half of Australia. Why are they able to do it? For the same reason that the Arabs bought so much of America. Back when they were getting $32 a barrel for their oil, and the international financiers made them big, at that point, they bought massive amounts of land in America. Now, today, they're not buying anymore. Now, the Japanese still are somewhat at their peak, but they're beginning to get in trouble. They're probably still buying. They have bought large amounts probably in the past. Watch. They won't be able to do that much longer because they're just in the process of beginning to start that trend downward. They hit their peak. Now they're going over the other side. Folks, you've been a wonderful audience. I have one last note that was just handed to me. You're going to love this. Videotapes of the meeting tonight will be available at the Conservative Bookshop at 461 Ann Street. 461 Ann Street. I did not produce these. The gentleman here with the video camera is doing this, and I understand that the local group that's doing this will be charging $25 for the video. And it can be gotten from the Conservative Bookshop, 461 Ann Street. And I hope you cut out that part about Thomas Jefferson so I can finish my tour in your country. Please. Now, as you go out tonight, on the back table,